Welcome to the Know the News podcast, brought to you by the newsroom of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm your host, Rusty Turner, and on today's podcast, we're going to talk about movie magic. Specifically, we're going to visit with the writer, director, and star of a locally made film soon to be screened at the Sundance Film Festival, and that is Krista Bradley. Hi, Krista. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
And also with us today is Becca Martin-Brown. She's the features editor of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and she's written a story about Krista and her film that's going to appear in this Sunday's edition of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette in the What's Up Entertainment section. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Rusty. Hi, Krista. I can't wait for you guys to read it.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's start with Krista. How in the world does someone from Arkansas get into the filmmaking business? How did you end up making a film in the first place?
So how I got into the business was, unfortunately, like so many people who are wanting to get into the business and who are from here, you know, in Northwest Arkansas and throughout our state, you know, I had to move away for a little bit in order to really get the tools and the skills and the resources that I needed to be a successful filmmaker. And so I went to U of A, and whenever I, in 2012, you know, after college, I moved to Colorado, and Colorado has a huge commercial filmmaking market. And it's also about 6 hours from Albuquerque, which is a huge film market. Netflix actually has, their own headquarters over there. And so I moved to Colorado, and it was really there where I got just the resources and made the connections and found, you know, the people who I call my family. They're my film family. And just, you know, started learning and really, really just got my feet wet in it. And so that's kind of where my career started. I got an agent. My first agent was in Denver. Then I ended up getting an agent in New Mexico, who also represents me in Los Angeles. But really it all started with commercials. And I kind of realized, like, I always knew I wanted to be a filmmaker. So seriously, I was telling Becca that we have video somewhere of me whenever I was 4 years old telling my grandfather, you know, I'm going to be a filmmaker, and I'm going to write, and I'm going to direct, and, you know, just all this other stuff. And what was really cool is, seriously, since I was a child, I've been doing this. Like, we have all these home videos and just all of this footage of me making my brother and my sisters, you know, just play characters and, you know, just experimenting and learning. And so moving to Denver and finally making those connections and getting to be on sets, it was the most thrilling thing ever. And then one of the coolest opportunities actually came from Arkansas. So back in, I believe it was 2018, The Penitent Thief actually filmed here. And by that point in time, I was a full-time commercial actress. Like I said, you know, Denver's a really great commercial market. And so I was full-time acting, really wanting to do, again, more films, though. And so there was a film here in Arkansas that was shooting, and I was immediately just attracted to the opportunity. And what was amazing is I had the opportunity to get on and work. And not only did I act in that, but I ended up assistant directing. And that was on The Penitent Thief, which was written and produced by Don Willis, who also is attached to Wonderland Cave. But anyway, just, it's something that I've always wanted to do, you know, since I was a little girl, and in one way or another, you know, always did do, but really got, again, you know, the skill set, you know, in Denver. And then also I've gone to so many different classes. I always tell all the film students, like, I'm so jealous of you because you have such a great opportunity. You have all this gear available to you. You have people who's there to lead you, and, you know, you get 4 years of this. That's just amazing. Just again, you know, I was able to attend just classes and seminars and, you know, just anything that I could for, I guess, I mean, just again, years now, just trying to, you know, sharpen my tools and my skill set. I'm always trying to do that.
Right.
Tell us about the good luck and the bad luck, though, that gave you the opportunity for Wonderland Cave? Tell us where you were when they said, hey, there's a pandemic.
Well, oh my goodness gracious. So I actually found out about COVID in an audition room. So I was auditioning for Stranger Things, and this was March, I think it was like March 8th. I could look it up and tell you the exact date and time, because I still have my little call stamp, because it was whenever. So this was an audition in Albuquerque at Netflix Studios. And what's really cool is whenever you have auditions on studio lots, it's exactly like what you see in the movies. Like there's the guard there and you got to check in, and then you have like this, you know, little thing that you have to put on your car and you go straight to your audition. And anyway, you just feel so legit. But anyway, so I kept that because I'm a nerd. But anyway, but I'm having this awesome audition with Joedna Baldwin and Marie McMaster, who was then her assistant, but Marie's actually running that casting office now, which is just so cool to see how people have grown, you know, even through the challenges of COVID. But I kid you not, I have an awesome audition. I walk out and Marie was like, hey, ladies, just letting you know, production has been postponed indefinitely. You know, there's this thing, COVID-19, and we were all told to go home. And it was such a bummer because, again, I just said that, you know, I had such a fun audition and was like, yes, this is, you know, I love this show. I'm great for this role. This is my chance. And I walk out and I'm just like slammed with that information. So, and at that time, again, you know, I was a full-time actress, and it wasn't just the TV and you know, film sets that were closing. Commercials, you know, a lot of them, those slowed down too. Like they didn't completely stop, but they did slow down tremendously. And so that presented an opportunity for my husband and I to move back home. There was a lot of people who I know who were, you know, actually getting sick. And the last thing I wanted was my grandparents. They're just so high risk. And so, and my husband's parents are high risk as well. And so we just were like, let's move back. And, you know, even with moving back, there's no way that I'm going to stop filmmaking. And so I, you know, brought my passion with me. And it was December that I really started really putting together the script and the idea of Wonderland Cave, December 2020.
Hey, Krista, before we go on, you mentioned moving back. I don't know that we established you're from Arkansas originally. You're from the area.
Yeah, I actually I was born in Fayetteville.
Yeah. So this is the story of the hometown girl who went off and to make her fortune and then came back home to continue making her fortune. So
yeah. I wish there was a fortune involved, but none of that. Yeah, I gotta say, like, filmmaking in Arkansas is incredible. Like, I think it's just so, so cool how it ended up happening, because it was all organic. And just so, I think it was meant to be, because again, the story, it's about two people, obviously, and it could have taken place anywhere, but it takes place in Wonderland Cave. And the way that it intertwines with the story of the owner and the man who actually had the idea of Wonderland Cave, C.A. Linebarger, it just tells this beautiful, again, just beautiful story about these three people who you would never think that their worlds would come together, but they somehow do. And it's, again, I can't wait to share it with everybody. Yeah. But anyway, I could go on and on about it, but it's just something we couldn't film anywhere other than Arkansas, I think.
So let's talk about Wonderland Cave for a moment. So the name of the film is Wonderland Cave. And of course, Wonderland Cave is this landmark nightclub that was part of the original Bella Vista Resort community. So Becca, can you tell us a little bit about Wonderland Cave and what it was and why it's such a special place?
Bella Vista started life as a summer entertainment spot where people came and spent weeks swimming and playing golf and just having fun on long vacations like they used to take. And C.A. Linebarger discovered that this cave could be a great tourist attraction. It opened March 1, 1930, with room for like a 12-piece band, had a 30-foot bar, and wooden and stone booths around the perimeter. And it was a place where you went to dance to big band and jazz music.
And it was literally a cave, or is literally a cave. Yeah.
Is literally a cave. And there have been times over the years when we thought perhaps somebody was going to resurrect that cave. And so far it hasn't happened, except in Krista's film. And Krista didn't get to film in Wonderland Cave, but she did find a cave.
That's right. I wish that I could have. And, you know, if that opportunity ever arises, I would love to, because we're still filming. So we still have scenes that we need to shoot. What's screening at Sundance is, it's actually the trailer that I shared with you, Becca. So that's what we'll be sharing there.
And it'll be available attached to the story too.
Cool. Oh, how cool. That's so wonderful. I can't wait. I hope that everybody watches it and gets curious about Wonderland Cave, because what's really cool about that story is so much of it, again, is just intertwined right into the history of Northwest Arkansas and the cave. We learn about the Sunset Hotel, mm-hmm. which we shot at, we shot all that at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka. Mm-hmm. Of course, we learned about Wonderland and just all about Bella Vista back then. It was so crazy how we had two worlds, again, colliding, because you had the locals who, a lot of them were actually employed by C.A. Linebarger. But again, a lot of them, you know, they were poor. They, you know, weren't experiencing the best of life. It was the Great Depression. And then you have these wealthy people who have, you know, just this incredible, you know, amount of money available to them just coming and visiting. And so getting to explore both of those worlds is just, number one, it's so beautiful cinematically. Our locations, they're just gorgeous. And we couldn't be more grateful for the footage that we got, because we couldn't have gotten it without, you know, the great locations. But it's just really amazing to bring it back to life and celebrate Arkansas in that way too, because, you know, if we ever were able to, you know, film in the cave, or if the cave was able to be open again, I seriously think that it would be a huge tourist attraction that people would love to come and visit and relive as they did in 1930, to go visit and go dance and listen to that big band music or jazz and, you know, enjoy a piece of Arkansas history that I feel should be alive today.
Yeah.
The very first time I ever came to Bella Vista, I was told the story of Wonderland Cave. And so it's been magical to me for way longer, way more years than we're going to talk about. That's why I've been so excited about your film, is take me in this cave that I've never gotten a chance to sneak into.
Oh, and I hear that so often. So there's normally two reactions that I get when people, you know, see the trailer or they hear about the film being made. And the first one is, oh, I've heard about Wonderland Cave. My grandparents were there. My mother was there and they told me stories. And then they just get just as excited as I am, because again, they're getting to see a piece of their, and it's not just a piece of history, but it's a piece of their family's history mm-hmm. on screen. And we did a really good job of trying to really make it authentic and just as accurate as we possibly could. And we just want to take people back to the cave. And then the other thing too is just, again, I think that it's just a really cool celebration of just Arkansas as a whole, because we have so much Arkansas talent attached too. And so I hope everybody watches it, enjoys it. And whenever the film comes out, I hope that they watch that too. And, you know, research what's real, what isn't, because technically it is a fictional narrative, but so much is based on factual stuff.
And you're going to see people, you know, Justin Stewart and Patty Steele and Mark Landon Smith and the gentleman that is playing C.A. Linebarger, whose name has gone away.
John Willis.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Justin Stewart is phenomenal in this. I mean, phenomenal. There's been a lot of, you know, really, really big filmmakers who I admire who have seen the trailer and, of course, have given me feedback. And just consistently, the first thing they say is, you know, wow, is that his real voice? And I'm like, yeah, that is his real voice. That's how Justin talks. Does he talk like that all the time? Yeah, from what I can tell. And he was just the perfect Clarence Love. And it was so important to get Clarence Love right, because he is a character who is based in reality. So if you look up who Clarence Love was, he was a jazz artist from Oklahoma who actually played at Wonderland Cave as well as the Sunset for many years. He was a hit. People loved him. And he went on to become he was a part of the Jazz Hall of Fame in Oklahoma. And so we have pictures of him. We wanted to find somebody who, you know, not only looked the part, but could really bring him back to life, vocally, physically, you know, just in every way. And Justin nailed it. I could not be more thrilled with what he did with the character.
We love Justin. He's an old friend of the journalist who put on the Gridiron Show in Northwest Arkansas and has been part of it.
Everybody loves Justin. He's just a wonderful, and he's just a wonderful person. He's so kind and just so chill. He's a very nice person to have on set.
The pictures are amazing. They're just amazing.
Thank you. All the credit to some of those photos were taken by some crew members, Zach Morris, and then also Elizabeth Sanchez. But a lot of those are still frames from our actual footage. And I have to brag about Diego Rodriguez. He is our director of cinematography, and he's just so incredible. He's been one of my mentors since, I guess, 2018, one of those years. But he's just incredible. And it was so, so cool to watch him do what he loves and what I know he is so good at, just every day. And I'm blown away. And I think everybody's going to be blown away whenever they see the whole film, because he just loves it. And there is nothing better than letting people who, you know, love what they do just have free range to do it well. And it's just been such a fun creative journey. He and I are so on the same, we're just on the same page for everything. And we really have like the same preference for aesthetics. We have, you know, the same mentors and same inspirations. And so it's really easy to trust him to get things that look beautiful and make the most out of all the situations too. Because sometimes we didn't have, you know, necessarily all the equipment that we wanted or all of the, you know, just all of the art decoration that we wanted, but we were able to get the shots that we wanted. And so all of that credit goes to him.
So Krista, you said your trailer is going to play at, is going to screen at the Sundance Film Festival. What does that do? What does that do for your project? What's the upside of having that exposure?
Well, I was about to say the upside is definitely just the exposure. So yeah. Sundance Film Festival is one of the most prestigious film festivals. And what's really neat is the way that I got the screening was I was invited as a writer. And so whenever you're, you know, obviously invited as a writer, they're not expecting you to have footage. And so I had the coolest opportunity. And this started with Fayetteville Film Festival, because if it wasn't for winning Fayetteville Film Festival, I would not have had that footage ready in time to, like, it just wouldn't have worked. I wouldn't have had the footage ready. But I was able to get in touch with En-ROADS Fellowship, which is the sponsor of, you know, who I'm going, you know, to Sundance for. But anyway, so I got in touch with them and was like, hey, you know, we were able to start filming some of the script, take a look, and they just loved it. And so we're playing it at the actual networking event that I'm going to. And so it's so cool that we get to share it with some of the industry's biggest leading people. I mean, we'll have Lionsgate, Paramount. You never know who you're going to run into there. And so that's kind of the upside. And then also just having the opportunity to just network and mingle with more filmmakers and people who are trying to make art and trying to tell, you know, stories that really mean something. Because I really feel that at Sundance, it's just like this big pot of just artists and people who really take their art seriously. Because, I mean, if you're going to Sundance, I mean, you got to have a plan, you got to have a game, you know, a game plan. And really, if you're, in my opinion, you're going to advance your career. And so it's really nice to just be able to be with other serious filmmakers and just see how we could possibly collaborate or what I can learn or you know, who I meet.
Yeah. And Sundance starts January 19th. Is that right?
January 19th through the 29th.
Yeah. Okay. And you know, Becca mentioned that we'll have a link to the trailer that's available now. Any idea when the film itself would be ready for someone to see?
So I told her I will have more information on that after Sundance, because okay. We are looking at two different options for how to complete the film, and it all depends on kind of these meetings and right. how much funding we get from those. And so, to be continued, okay. I can give you more information after that.
Well, call us. Okay. Let me know. All right. Yeah, let us know, and we'll talk about it again when the premiere is scheduled. So.
Oh, I cannot wait. I will make sure you guys know, and I want to. I can't wait, because I want to make sure that it's premiered in Arkansas. I feel like this should be the place where it's shared first. In fact, I believe that Fayetteville Film Festival, they said that, you know, they want to make sure that it's shared in Fayetteville first. And so again, just the support that we have here in Arkansas has just been incredible, and I can't wait to share it with everybody.
Well, I can't wait to see it, and I'm excited about the opportunity for you and opportunity for filmmakers in Arkansas, because it sounds like a great project, and it sounds like a wonderful story, too, very historical. My wife's from Bentonville, so she's got all those stories about Wonderland Cave from her family, too, so I'm fascinated by the topic, so...
That's so cool. That is so cool. I love hearing everybody's story about Wonderland Cave. It is so cool. And it's really neat to see, again, like the legacy that it has. And hopefully we can honor that legacy. And it's just going to be really cool to bring the, you know, the past back to life. It's been such a fun experience so far. Like I was telling Becca, one of my favorite scenes. Oh, goodness gracious. So I had the opportunity to meet with, her name is Constance May Waddell, and she's the daughter of YDT May and Gladys May, who are two characters in my film, because they were basically, he operated the Sunset Hotel as well as the cave with his wife, Gladys, who was a host. And anyway, so what I love is that Connie actually described Gladys to me in just this amazing detail. And I shared it, you know, with our team, and we recreated her memory. And it's just been, again, just such a cool experience and something that, you know, I haven't taken lightly. I really wanted to make sure that we do well and, you know, we honor the family and make them proud. But there's just some really beautiful moments in this that I feel privileged to have filmed.
Well, I think everyone who's heard about it, I think, is excited about the opportunity to see it, and look forward to see how things turn out in the end. And I want to thank you. My guest today is Krista Bradley, and she is the writer, director, and star of Wonderland Cave, a movie made locally about local history in Northwest Arkansas. That's a trailer for it. It's going to screen at the Sundance Film Festival, and then more to come later. Is that right, Krista?
That's right.
All right. And Becca Martin Brown, our features editor, has a story. If you want to know more about the film Wonderland Cave, you can check out her story in Sunday's What's Up Entertainment section in the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Thanks for being here today, Becca.
Here's some other great content coming your way in this weekend's editions of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the River Valley Democrat Gazette. We'll tell you about the events planned for January 20th, Martin Luther King's Day celebrations in both Northwest Arkansas and the River Valley. A UAMS research team will study why the Marshallese population in the U.S. has an infant mortality rate twice as high as non-Hispanic whites. The highest concentration of Marshallese in the U.S. is in Northwest Arkansas. Mike Jones will give us an update on plans for improving roads in Benton County in the coming year. Stacy Ryburn will tell us about plans to prevent flooding on a popular bike trail at Fayetteville's Kessler Park. Washington County's newly elected Quorum Court will get its first look at requests for American Rescue Plan money in its next meeting. Tom Sissom will tell us all about that. Fort Smith is trying to get a handle on stray dogs and cats in the city, Monica Brick reports. She'll also have an update on the flag display at Fort Smith's Riverfront Park. The city plans to display the flags of U.S. military branches there, while a lawsuit seeking to restore a display that includes the Confederate battle flag is raging. You can also get an update on the Fort Smith's Marshals Museum from Thomas Cicente. And before we go, I want to tell you about some of the more popular stories we've published in the past few days. In case you missed some of them, subscribers can still access them at our website at nwaonline.com. For example, Garrett Moore's Let's Eat column continues to be one of our more popular items. Last week, he told you about 5 new eateries in Rogers. Check back with him each week to find out about other new dining options near you. Other highly read stories include the account of a man who died following a traffic stop near West Fork, a story about a proposed indoor go-kart attraction coming to Rogers, the arrest of a man who thought he was arranging a date with a teen but found police waiting for him instead, and Fort Smith's efforts to address homeless encampments in the community. All of this content can be found on our tablet and smartphone apps and at our website, nwaonline.com. If you're not a subscriber, we can take care of that for you. Just click the subscribe button at nwaonline.com or call us at 479-684-5509. Again, that number, 479-684-5509. Thanks again for joining us on Know the News. We'll be back next week with a new edition of this podcast. And until then, this is your host, Rusty Turner, saying so long.